Here's a chance for a glimpse into the development path of the world's second largest economy in the years to come. The 20th Central Committee of the Communist Party of China has just concluded its third plenary meeting, adopting a resolution on further deepening reform comprehensively to advance China's modernization. A communique released after the meeting unveils the key areas China will further push forward reforms, when these tasks should be accomplished, and what challenges may lie ahead. This week on Deep Dive, CGTN radio reporter Dou Hongyu brings first-hand information of the reform agenda and economic policy in the world's second largest economy and explores what they will bring to China and beyond. I'm Liu Kun. This episode is brought to you on Thursday, July the 18th. So Hongyu, first tell us more about the CPC Central Committee plenary meetings, and why does the third plenary meeting get the most attention from investors and the public?
Okay, China's Communist Party holds its biggest meeting, the National Congress, every 5 years. A new Central Committee is formed during the National Congress, and the Central Committee, which is the top governing body of the Communist Party, holds 7 plenary sessions over a 5-year term. Each one of them has different focuses. Normally, the first and the second plenums deal with fixed procedures such as power transitions and leadership appointments, not much on decision-making on key policies. The third plenum produces policies that could change the direction of the Chinese economy. And the fourth focuses on party building. The fifth plenary meeting forms 5-year plans for China's national economic and social development. The sixth plenum deals with ideological matters. And the seventh makes final preparations and announces the dates for the next party congress. So the reason why the third plenums get the most attention is that it's usually where the CPC announces its big picture plans over the next 5 or 10 years. So it gives you a glimpse into the near future of China, especially the economic development, which is also an important source of information for investors. And it also represents the first chance for the new leadership to introduce its thinking on economic and political issues. The third plenary sessions are held every 5 years on average, so each one was held under different international landscape and with different domestic problems. This year in particular, investors are watching closely for any hints on policy direction to address problems, including those related to real estate, youth employment, and consumer confidence.
So different plenums have different functions.
Yes.
In history. Mm-hmm. Now, how effective have the third plenums been, you know, in terms of guiding reform in the past?
Well, the past third plenums have delivered historic reforms, quite a lot of examples, but let's now focus on the latest 10 years, because since the reform and opening up started in 1978, China's growth of GDP has shocked the world for sure, but the development was described as unbalanced, uncoordinated, and unsustainable. And as the reform deepens, more and more hard bones have been exposed. And they are the target of reform in the past decade and in the years to come. In 2013, the 18th Central Committee's third plenum released the decision on major issues concerning comprehensively deepening reforms. 16 chapters. That was an epoch-defining set of changes, including market-oriented reform measures, the relaxation of the country's one-child policy, and a change of household registry system. Now, let's take a look at the reform on state-owned enterprises, which is one of the hardest bones among all the reforms. Take the example of China First Heavy Industries Group, which was founded in the 1950s. It is the legacy of the Soviet-style industrial model and was known as the pillar of the country's heavy machinery production in the planned economy era. But it began to crumble as China stepped into a market economy. especially with an insufficient and inefficient management system in the 1980s, the company was not as productive and innovative as private firms and suffered a lot from overcapacity and debt. The third plenary session of the 18th CPC Central Committee stressed on the reform on SOEs, like this group. And following that, the China First Heavy Industries Group was quite serious about motivating employees. For instance, in one of the subsidiaries, the whole management team was removed because it failed to meet the target for several years, and the group gave every employee the opportunity to compete for a post in the management. Well, it sounds simple, but it was actually a quite difficult and brave move because it broke the vested interest of many in the leadership. But fortunately, the reform was already started to pay off. For example, earlier this year, it produced the largest hydrocracker reactor ever in the world. It wouldn't come true with the original rigid and inefficient management and the lack of creativity before the third plenum of the 18th CPC Central Committee. Reforms also took place in other fields following the meeting over the past decade, including taxation, environmental protection, democracy, and the medical systems. And the following third plenary session, the third plenum of the 19th CPC Central Committee in 2018, was very special as it adopted a decision on deepening reform of party and state institutions. That was commented as out of expectation and unprecedented. Of course, there were many, many other problems to be solved, such as environmental degradation, the lack of creativity. There were also problems with people's livelihoods. But to solve these problems, the country needed to improve its governing capability, and it had to start with the restructuring of party and state institutions to make them more efficient. For example, the Ministry of Agricultural Affairs was founded in the year of the meeting. Before that, if you were in charge of an agricultural investment project, you had to shuttle among multiple departments involved in different stages of the project, such as the Ministry of Agriculture, the National Development and Reform Commission, and the Ministry of Finance. But now, all those responsibilities have been gathered at the new ministry, the Ministry of Agricultural Affairs, which is way more efficient and has avoided different departments from shifting responsibilities to each other. So the third plenum of the 19th CPC Central Committee in 2018 is seen as an important point of time when many major problems of the country started to be solved top-down. So countless of powerful reforms actually started from the third plenums. That's why we say they are effective.
Well, I think we should applaud the Chinese CPC leadership for their courage and also their vision into in terms of bringing in these reforms.
Yes.
As you said, it's always difficult. Some say that the third plenary meetings of the CPC Central Committee often act as a beacon for China's overall development. Could you please explain why?
Yes, the ultimate purpose of the meetings is for the country to develop, for sure. But in the course of development, the economic base shapes social and political structures such as politics, culture, law, and ideology. And the social and political structures in turn affect economic activities. Sometimes there are contradictions between the policies and what the society really needs. For example, the third plenums of the previous CPC Central Committee before 2013 mainly focused on economic growth because that was the most urgent need of that era. But by 2012, many national policies were faced with tough challenges. For instance, the gap in wealth and income widened, which led to increased social dissatisfaction that added to social instability. Another challenge was that the environmental problems were neglected during the high-speed economic growth. So, starting from the term of the 18th CPC Central Committee, the mode of China's development has switched from a development-oriented one to a model that balances development and governance. So the role of the third plenary sessions is to point out reform directions to achieve healthy coordination between the economic system and the superstructure.
Well, this week's communique is quite long. Overall, what message are you getting, you know, from this meeting in terms of China's reform, opening up, economic development, and so on?
Two words: ambition and determination. Mm. The session released a communique saying that it adopted a resolution on further deepening reform comprehensively to advance Chinese modernization. Two major differences between this title and that of the decision in 2013. First, further deepening reform, which means that reform in all walks of China will be pushed forward. Mm-hmm. And second, the purpose is to advance Chinese modernization, which is a new term. Quite an ambitious plan, over 5,000 characters in the communique covering 14 aspects, including governance, economy, opening up, democracy, education, etc. And you can feel the determination from the communique, which said the reform tasks laid out in the resolution shall be completed by the time the People's Republic of China celebrates its 80th founding anniversary in 2029. So there is a timeline, which means Chinese modernization is not a rhetoric, and China is very serious about it. This is the first time that Chinese modernization was mentioned and stressed by the third plenum of a CPC Central Committee. This term was proposed by the Party Congress of the 20th Central Committee about 2 years ago. So this week's meeting is also the first time that the party leadership signaled concrete reforms to achieve it.
Mm.
In the past, when we talked about Chinese modernization, we always talked about its five characteristics, namely the modernization of a huge population, common prosperity for all, material and cultural ethical advancement, harmony between humanity and nature, and peaceful development. Mm. And now the communique shows us how the five characteristics manifest themselves in reality. For example, the reforms include integrated development of urban and rural areas and improving the income distribution system. That's part of the efforts to achieve common prosperity for all, the second characteristic of Chinese modernization. So if Chinese modernization is a house to build, then the five characteristics are like a general picture of it. Mm. And this week's meeting at its communique is a construction drawing. It gives us a chance to zoom in, to take a closer look at what Chinese style of modernization is. It makes the picture clearer, not only to people in China, but also to the world who wants to know where China's headed to.
Mm, well, the world does want to know where China is headed to. I think in the communique, the leaders mentioned that this year's meeting is held under very special international circumstances as well.
Yes.
So how does this meeting define the status quo of China's economy in response to concerns expressed by some Western media?
Well, I've read and watched a lot of reports from Western media on this week's meeting, and I feel like for them, it's a great chance to remind people of all the challenges China's facing. And they are still trying to say that Chinese economy is reaching a peak and there are not many effective solutions. But the meeting this week has naturally debunked the China peak narrative by the West. It didn't have to do it on purpose, though. The China peaks theory sounds new, but it's the same as the so-called end of China's economic miracle theory back in 2013, when the third plenary session of the 18th CPC Central Committee was held. As we have discussed, enormous reforms have taken place after the following decade. Last year, China's GDP surpassed 126 trillion yuan, or about 17 trillion US dollars. That was more than double that of 2013. So it eventually scotched the narrative of the end of China's economic miracle. And from this week's meeting, we can see that the collapse of the 2013 narrative will happen again, but this time with the China peaks narrative. This week's meeting has told us how with that massive reform plans. For example, the communique says the country will improve the institutions and mechanisms for fostering new quality productive forces in line with local conditions. In one of our episodes this March, we talked about the smart drive in China's manufacturing industry. Mm-hmm. We discussed about how digital and smart technologies in some of the world's most advanced smart factories in China increase productivity and reduce costs of time, money, and energy. The digitalization drive and the application of smart technologies is part of the efforts to foster new quality productive forces. China has already been doing this, but now it's mostly large companies and factories that have completed their smart transformation. Now the country is encouraging medium and small-sized enterprises to follow suit. With the reform missions released by this week's third plenum, I'm personally looking forward to the smart drive sweeping across China.
Mm-hmm.
And this will be a growth driver in the years to come. Transformation in other fields will also take place following the meeting, and the problems mentioned by the Western media will be tackled with concrete measures.
Mm. Well, as you said, despite the China peak theory that's been debated in some Western media, but let's be realistic and be down to earth. I mean, what challenges faced with China's development have been mentioned at this week's meeting? And is there any solutions to address those challenges?
Well, the reform plans in the communique released from the meeting have told us what problems have been talked about during this meeting, because this communique actually tells us the solutions to address the challenges in China, especially the imbalances in China's development, such as growth and inequality and economic development and environmental protection. And the directions for the reform are quite clear, as stated in the communique, such as how to improve social justice and how to tackle climate change. I believe that when these reform ambitions reach the ground, they will evolve into concrete measures based on local conditions.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hongyu, in conclusion, tell us how you understand this week's meeting might impact the global economies.
Well, I think it'll mean a lot to global investors. Mm-hmm. For example, it's been reported that a group of executives from large American companies will come to Beijing next week, just following the meeting. Some on the list of the visiting companies include Goldman Sachs, Starbucks, Honeywell, and Nike. They hope to meet with senior Chinese officials to get firsthand information on China's future development roadmap. So, investors are actually planning to adjust their strategies on the Chinese market to capitalize on the policy changes to take place in China, as well as the economic growth in the country. And I believe the meeting will also probably have a profound impact on countries striving for their own paths of modernization. Part of the underlying logic of Chinese modernization is that modernization doesn't equal to westernization. So each country can have their own way of solving their own problems. And the reform measures released this time are part of the reform and opening up starting from 1978. So many of them are still like crossing the river by feeling for the stones. So numerous lessons can be learned from the new measures and what China is going to do. President Xi Jinping said that Chinese modernization can set a good example for developing countries to move towards modernization independently and has provided them with a new chance. So the meeting in the second largest economy will not only be transformative in the country, but also make a huge difference on the global economic outlook.
Mm. So 1 week's meeting, a lot to read and a lot to digest in the days to come. Thank you, Hongyu, for the detailed analysis.
Thank you for having me.
The communique outlines China's future development path with ambitious goals, a clear timeline, and firm determination. Given the current global situation, it is clear that achieving these goals on time will be challenging. But China has repeatedly demonstrated its ability to achieve development goals, whether easy or difficult, on time. For instance, it lifted nearly 100 million people out of poverty in just 8 years. We can now expect that all industries contributing to the country's modernization will roll out specific measures to achieve the goals outlined in this communique as planned. That brings us to the end of this episode of Deep Dive. If you enjoyed what you just heard, don't forget to follow us on your podcast platforms. Just search for Deep Dive. You can also leave a comment to let us know what you want to learn about China and beyond. This episode is brought to you by me, Liu Kun, and my colleagues Zhang Zhang and Qi Zhi. Special thanks to CGTN Radio reporter Dou Hongyu. We'll see you in the next one.